Thank you for joining us today on the Women's Franchise Committee podcast, Her Success, Stories of Women in Franchise Leadership. I am Cassidy Ford. I am joined today by Heather Hudson, co-founder and chief operating officer of Nine Round Kickboxing Fitness. So with over 700 locations worldwide, Nine Round is a specialized fitness center where people can come for a fun and unique and proven workout experience. She has been in franchising since the founding of Nine Round in 2008. As a mom of two, a black belt holder, and a fitness competitor, and also as someone who just grew up with a passion for fitness, Heather is a huge advocate of women in fitness. I am very excited. Heather, thank you so much for sitting down today.
Thank you, Cassidy. I'm super honored to be here.
Heather has an incredible story about how Nine Round's mission statement has impacted her success and also how it has empowered women all around the world. Today, her story is all about strength. Just to kick it off, our first stop is at the beginning. Heather, how did you get started in franchising?
Well, my husband and I are co-founders, as you mentioned, and the intention with our very first Nine Round location, which I have to give credit to my husband, Nine Round as a business model is my husband's brainchild. It's his inspiration, and yes, we have founded it together, but also part of his business inspiration for the brand was to franchise from the beginning. So what we had to do is dive in and learn a lot about that. We're self-taught. We were not in business with franchising prior to Nine Round. We hadn't done any franchising before that. So we learned what we needed to learn about what it takes to launch a franchise. And one of the first things you need is obviously a great business that obviously makes people want to duplicate it. So we opened our first Nine Round in Greenville, South Carolina in 2008. And then as it began to succeed, we began to reverse look at, you know, what were we doing right? What was the secret sauce? What would we tell people to do to make another Nine Round? And we went from there, and that process has never ended. We're still deep diving constantly into what makes Nine Round run well. What do you avoid? 12 years later, here we are. We're a franchise in 18 countries. And so our whole job is just duplicating the process and giving systems and processes to the people who purchase a Nine Round to open in their community. But franchising was a world I was really not familiar with, until I just suddenly was. So, you know, we are the kind of couple that build the plane as it's flying sometimes. That's what we did. So, it really is a scrappy story. Proud of where we've come from. It's been a very hard road, but very rewarding and worth it.
Now, you guys would not have gotten to over 700 locations in, 41 states and 18 countries without having something really powerful at the core, right? And you have this mission statement that has created a really amazing culture at Nine Round. So can you tell us a little bit about what that is and what is at the core of what you do?
Yeah. So, sometimes you codify things years in, and sometimes you change things as you evolve as a company. So, we codified our current mission statement just a couple of years back. We had an amazing business coach who helped us to dig in and look at the brand from where it stood at that point and make sure that every word was carefully chosen. He calls it real estate on the page, don't put a word that doesn't need to be there and don't leave off a word that does. So it was quite a process, but our mission statement is making members stronger in 30 minutes, physically and mentally. So not one of those words could be left off. So it really means a lot to us. And so can you be physically stronger after just one of our 30-minute workouts? Maybe not, but you can be mentally stronger after one 30-minute workout. And that's really what happened to me. If I back up, I discovered martial arts. It's how I met my husband. He owned martial arts schools with his brother. And I took my daughter in to learn self-defense and ended up falling in love with punching and kicking for fitness. And so if you fast forward to the fact that I started working for the karate school, got to know my husband, who wasn't my husband then, and we ended up dating, getting married, and now we have a family of four. You fast forward to him within our first year of marriage, coming up with the brand of Nine Round and the concept. We launch it and we find out that more women are coming in than men to do this kickboxing workout, which is not really what we expected, because we were used to the martial arts world, which is mostly kids, a few parents, not a whole lot of women coming in the door to do, you know, martial arts and put their black belts on. But women were flocking into Nine Round. And every woman that I ask who's done a Nine Round workout and couldn't quite put into words what she felt, we end up at that either strong or empowered word. Fitness has been there for me every step of the way when I was going through tough stuff. And there's been, we don't have time for how many tough things I've been through for this show. Every time I've done fitness to get me through that, it's like it brings me right back to who I am, because it centers my focus on my strength. I am strong.
It's funny what you said. I think by the end of this, whoever's listening to this is going to want to pull out their earbuds and just go hit something in a good way, but yes. go hit something.
Nine Round, it's legal and safe.
Yes. Yes. Keep that in mind, folks. Okay. The next thing that you also said is that so many of your customers were coming in that were women, but you also have a corporate team that is 50% women, and you have a franchisee base that is, I think you said 50% women. What has that meant to you? And is that something that you expected or have kind of fostered?
So with I spoke to the member base being 70% women across the world, like in every country, it's pretty much mostly women. And I think that we covered why I think women are really excited about feeling empowered. That's obvious. With our corporate office, our home office, we've hired on talent and passion. And maybe because we're a founder-led husband-wife team, we naturally just foster an environment where it's kind of ended up being split down the middle. We don't necessarily specifically, I mean, you can't do that. You can't say, I have to have a man for this position or I have to have a woman for this position. We're going to hire on who's best for the job. And it's ended up that way, which maybe we're lucky, or maybe, yes, we've definitely facilitated a kind of culture that is just attracts both, you know. I'm really excited just since I've even talked to you, this is new. Our vice president of operations we just hired is a brand new position for our brand at the corporate level. And it's a woman. So I have another
nice woman
on my executive team, which is super awesome. And our executive team right now is split down the middle, 50-50 men, women. And it's really exciting. I don't necessarily consciously think of that in my day to day. Again, we just hire on talent and that's what we've gotten. I'm excited though, when I look at it and say, I'm so happy I have a brand that hires so many women, since it's such a hot topic. Someone asked me the other day if it was hard, how it's been with a lot of people having to stay home and how it seems that it falls on the women more to be home with the kids because of school. And I said, I can't speak to other companies. We don't have that happening in our company because we're working with everybody as much as they need to. And it appears that all of our married women have awesome spouses that are also pitching in just as much. So maybe it's a culture thing. We just attract those types of people. When it comes to the ownership base, we have a lot of husband and wife teams. And I think that might be because they meet, you know, we attract people like Shannon and myself, my husband, where they say, oh, look, a husband and wife team working together, we can do it too. And it works really well. We have quite a few spouses that are owners. And then sure, we have women owning solo and we have men owning solo. So it has ended up being kind of right down the middle again with the ownership base. I do believe that I said we get lucky, but I do believe we facilitate a culture that encourages inclusion and diversity. And so we probably end up attracting that because that's just the kind of people we are, the kind of company we strive to be.
Right. First of all, you are part of a husband and wife team, and a husband and wife team who founded the, you know, a franchise. And you have this mix of women who are solo franchisees in your system, and then this husband and wife mix of franchisees. What do you think the difference is between maybe a woman who is going at this on her own, strong women, by the way, and then what's the different dynamic of doing that as a couple?
I don't think there's a wrong way to do it. I think it's whatever works for you. You know, we also have women that are married and still do the business solo. it's different for everybody. I can't imagine it not being that way with my husband and myself, because we've really, after, you know, 12 years, you really know your lane, and we're really happy in our lanes and we're comfortable. And, it feels like a really well-oiled machine at this point. We have this great dance back and forth of, you know, vision and implementation and support each other. So I love it. Has it had tough moments? Of course. And has it been worth it? Yeah, it's so rewarding. It doesn't mean it's for everybody. Totally not for everybody. But if it works great for you, do it. If you know you're a solo owner, do that. The dynamic is different, I'm sure. And the reward is different. If you do something all by yourself, it's all your reward. If you share the reward with a spouse, then you share it. They're both right. Just depends on who you are.
And I ask you that question because we don't just have, you know, franchisors or throughout the entire franchise community, we have people tuning in, people who are thinking about franchising. And so that's a really, you said hot topic earlier, but we're going through some really unprecedented times. And so a lot of people are considering this in all stages of life, right? Speaking of that, your mindset and your culture that you talked about, how do you think that has played into the way that your brand and your community has maintained perspective during this crisis or any crisis?
Oh, wow. That's a big question. If you remember a second ago, I mentioned we were founded in 2008. I think I mentioned that.
You did.
So if anyone remembers that fantastic financial year, then you can understand the kind of mentality we have. So starting a brand that didn't exist during a recession, some would call crazy, but we were not distracted by what was going on in the market. We just knew we would make it work. There was no plan B. I have since coined the phrase, and maybe someone else said this too, but I say, if you have a plan B, it interferes with plan A. So don't have one. That worked for us. That might not work for everyone at home. If you have something to fall back on, you may let up on the gas just a little bit. We didn't have anything to fall back on, so it had to work, and we made it a success. So we started in financially turbulent times. We like to say now, you know, we were kind of made for this. So we're not going to back down. We are fighters. We're a fighter brand. Our owners are fighters in life, you know, and our members are fighters too. So another thing, back to the mission statement, stronger physically and mentally, we've had discussions about that since we codified that. And we've said things like, everyone's fighting something in life. Like, I don't know what your yesterday looked like, and you don't know what my last week looked like. Well, last week was hard. Everyone you meet is fighting something. There's no one immune to tough times. And now we all know we're fighting this virus, this pandemic. Obviously, the whole world is fighting that together. But even if that wasn't the case, everyone's fighting and battling something every day. I believe it just all comes back to the fighter mentality. First, starting with my husband and myself, then our home office team, they are all fighter mentality as well. Our franchisees are fighters. And so when it trickles down like that, we're all going to make it. We're going to be strong together. We're going to fight together. We're not going to quit together. And it's just not an option to lay down. It's just not in our DNA. It's not even a thought. It's just, we will get through this. How will we get through this? Here we go. Yeah. Keep going.
Do you think that openness, that level of vulnerability and transparency with your franchisees, understanding and connecting with them on the level of, I know that you're going through things, we're all fighters and we're all human, right? Do you think that's something that's actually normal, or do you think that, or can it be normal, right?
In business,
yeah.
I think it should be normal. I don't know that it is. I have the opportunity here and there to touch other businesses, some through my experience and interact with other brands and businesses. And I see some of them do that and some don't. I can't imagine being that type of culture though, where everyone acts like they have all the answers all the time. And there's not a lot of humanness allowed. I feel like we definitely allow for the human factor in our corporate staff, in our franchisees, and in ourselves. And I think that is something we've developed over the years. I've enjoyed getting more comfortable being more vulnerable, because it takes a lot of pressure off. I mean, why should we all run around fake pretending that we never don't know the answer? It's not real. It's not real life. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay. You know, I'm happy to be wrong there. So what is the answer? Let's figure it out.
You told me once, if you have a flaw, that people around you probably already know it.
Yeah, I remember that. We were talking about bettering yourself. I think I'm a big advocate for self-help and taking care of your mind and always growing, always trying to be better. And that will mean a grueling process of looking at your flaws. It's not fun. It's the reason a lot of people avoid it, like run for the hills rather than look inside themselves. It's usually not really pretty, or you would look at it easily. It's a process. It's hard. But what I said, I think, was we kind of fool ourselves that if we don't look at it, no one else will know we have this problem either. But I was thinking, a lot of times everybody around you already knows that you're fill in the blank. You're the last one to figure it out. So you may as well just do it. Kind of get over it and just work on it and do better. I'm a big, huge mental health, if you haven't noticed, is a big passion of mine. And I think it takes a lot to work on it. Fitness is one way. And I think there's a deliberate effort needed to dig into the mind. It's the most complicated thing. I say it all the time. Humans are so complicated. Like, we make easy things hard, and it's because we have these little issues that buried inside. I'd prefer to dig those up and out if I can. And so I strive to do that. I think that's a process that never ends, though. Never ends.
Some of the bravest women that I've known, or the biggest fighters, to put it in that perspective, have been the women who have had to set aside, I don't know the word to describe it, but they have had to focus on their mental health. And something that you've also said to me is about habits, and that none of us are perfect with our habits, and that inward reflection and being able to have the self-awareness and know that the world is not black and white, and accepting that, being okay with risk and failure. And that's been kind of a hallmark, right, of some of the ways that you've grown over the years.
Yeah, I really like things the way I like them. I'm not a fan of the gray area. I don't like it. I like black and white, and that's not a thing. That's not a place you can live. So life is mostly filled with the gray areas, and you can create, you know, docs and strat plans and processes all day with black and white, and there's still going to be gray that comes in. And I've just accepted that. Trying to not believe that that's the case is a losing battle. It's a futile exercise. You are wasting your energy. I've learned that, and I've gotten more on board with being flexible, and especially this year. So, you know, franchising by nature is, here's the playbook to run this business. Don't deviate from this playbook. Thank you. That's great. With this year, there's no book I can't turn to. What do you do when COVID does this? So we've had to stray from the manuals. We've had to create new operational procedures and approve them and say, it's a little bit of an open book in some areas. We are making some of this up as we go, because all of us are. There was no prep for this. How we run our business, for instance, you know, it is a circuit. That's one of our key differentiators in the marketplace, is the fact that you don't have to ever set an appointment as a member. You come in whenever you want and start your 30-minute session right then, which is super cool. I mean, you could have 18 people at once, and some of them just got there, and some are leaving, and some more come in. And so that was the world, you know, a year ago for 9 Round. Uh-huh. And now we had to switch to class times for a while, because we had to control how many people were in the building at a time once we reopened. And that was just, it just felt weird. It was just, we've always been no class times. This is so odd. It truly was. But if we weren't willing to do that, that inflexibility wouldn't serve us. So we did it. We came up with a booking module for our members to use. And some stores don't need to use them anymore. Some studios are able to go back to the circuit and are able to still control the capacity that way. And some studios still need it. So now we have a hybrid, some using something and some not. And that's, again, not generally how franchising works. Everyone's doing the same thing. But being flexible and saying, hey, California's needs right now are different than Florida, you know, and that actually is true. So we've been very flexible. It's actually not so bad living in the gray area. I thought it was so awful. I ran from it for so long, and it's not nearly as scary as I thought it would be.
Well, there's definitely a lesson from experience and leadership, for sure. During a pandemic, this has all been so crazy, right? But yeah. You're not just a leader during a pandemic. You're also a mom. And this idea of leadership by example, what have you learned just from 9 Round and the mission that you guys have had about being a leader in your family or vice versa?
Online school is probably harder than the business part. I'm not having fun, and neither is my son. My daughter's in college and she is good to go, but my son's 13, eighth grade, and online school is not easy for either one of us. I think we finally got in a groove. The first quarter was hard, but we're in a better groove now, thank goodness. But you know, we shared our own feelings about it. We all agree this isn't easy. This isn't always fun. You know, here's what we do with work, and you need to put things in your calendar and little life hacks like that. But I think being an example to your kids is partly admitting that you're not having an easy time either. You know, they think, like, kids think parents always have it together, and admitting that that's not true can help humanize you, I guess, to your kids as well. But I don't have it all worked out yet with the online school. It's a work in progress, but I do think we are coming up for air, and the second quarter is starting better than the first one did.
You work out as a family, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, so now that my son is 13, he's more interested in working out, which is fun. So he'll go to 9 Round with us, and he likes to lift weights here and there.
There's a funny story about how you kind of showed him how the world works a little bit on lifting weights, right?
Oh yeah. When we were warming up, my husband did a warm-up set, and then I did the same weight. And my husband went up in weight after that, for the record, but I squatted a pretty big amount, and my son was like, had been just learning to squat and hadn't quite gotten as heavy as I was about to do. And he said, "You can squat that." And I was like, "Oh, please step aside, child. Yes." I was like, "Move over. I'll show you." And I think he was a little surprised that I could squat that heavy. But yeah, he's learned a lot about how, you know, you look at something, you don't know how heavy it is until you try it. And he knew how heavy that was, that I was squatting, and he was impressed. So I was like,
Raising your sons about how to treat women by showing them what women can do, right?
Yeah. And I don't think he will ever even have to think about it, because he's been raised in a house that has leadership from mom and dad, and business success of mom and dad. And he gets to see us talk about work. He gets to see how we work through problems here and there. He'll come and drop a bunch of names and words that I know mean he's been listening to our conversations about the company. Mm-hmm. He'll say, "How's the FAC?" That's our Franchise Advisory Council. And he's just letting me know that he's been listening, and he wants to impress me that he knows what that
he
is.
He knows what's going on.
Yeah. So, he won't have to think about it. I think that it will be effortless for him to always know that men and women created equal and can do the same things. It won't be a thought in his head, which is super awesome to me. He's being raised in a time of progression, and I like that. He's getting to see women run for office, and there's just so much talk of it being all about equality and opportunity. And, you know, we were raised differently, you and I even, mm-hmm. and that's not that long ago. So I'm just excited that he's getting to see such progression in his lifetime, and not, you know, even 50 years ago, what a different world we lived in, you know, and even in my lifetime, what a difference I've seen happen, and the kind of growth of mentality of people. And he won't have to deal with some of that. We still have a long way to go, obviously, as a human race, but I believe he's seeing great things happen that are making history. And again, all he'll ever know is my mom did just as much as my dad in the business world. And he'll end up just thinking that that's the norm, which is awesome.
What do you think, as we're progressing, what do you think the future looks like for women, for, you know, women who are pursuing business ownership? I guess, what advice would you give them in the context of where we are today?
Well, I think the climate we're in supports women more than ever. There's more resources than ever. There's more encouragement for women to do business or do anything, really, like do what you want to do. That message is just being like blasted across the planet, which is awesome. So I would say in a lot of ways, it could be easier than ever to just find the opportunities because it's so much on the forefront of people's minds. That said, business, whether you're a man or a woman, is never easy. So just be ready for that. You know, no matter what's going on in the political or economic climate, it's still going to be hard. And it can still also be a success. I mean, I've never believed that my business success would be based on any political agenda or economic climate. Like, we are going to make our own destiny. And so I would encourage, don't think now's not the right time. The time's right whenever you are ready. On that note, you're never really truly ready. So for any moms out there that have kids, you know, you weren't really ready ever. But when you had a child, you grew with it and you did what you had to do to become a great parent. You can plan all day. You can read all the books. You can stock up on the best things to take care of your baby. And you're still, it just hits you like a ton of bricks. This is really hard. Like, being a parent is hard. And you can't really properly ever prepare for that first one besides just jumping in and having it. So business is very similar. You can read all the books and go to the classes and get your degrees and get mentored. When you go to finally do the business and open it, it's going to kick your butt a little bit. You are going to be like, wow, this is so much harder than I thought. There's going to be some aspect of it that really just throws you and you think, am I up for this? But you are. You're going to be just fine. You have to just take it as part of getting out of your comfort zone, stretching yourself, and that never feels comfortable, or it wouldn't be out of your comfort zone. So the only way to really grow is through some discomfort. Not easy. Harder than having a job, probably. Owning a business, probably harder than just having a job and going and letting someone else tell you what to do. You are responsible for new things. It's uncomfortable and it is so rewarding. Like, it's so rewarding. And you really do end up controlling your destiny more than you would as an employee. Usually, that's my philosophy. A lot of people feel going into business is really risky. You know what's risky? Getting laid off, the potential of getting laid off from a company you spent 20 years helping build because they got a downsize. And just boom, you're gone. Like, that happens in recessions, right? And it's a risk you're taking every day, not being your own boss. So it just depends on how you look at it. Usually anything worth having is difficult.
I don't think you understand what a unicorn you are.
Like, love unicorns. Oh my gosh, they're my spirit.
No, definitely. Like, just the idea and the thought process that you guys and the effort that you put into digging deep and understanding that connection between what I would say body, mind, and soul, right? That's my familiarity with that, and that mental and physical connection, and just the how pervasive that is throughout your entire life. And you're just this beacon, right? You are so passionate about this.
You're so sweet.
I want to leave it at that. I want to heap some praise and encouragement on you, because I've really, there's a lot of inspiration to get out of what you're talking about. But
I hope it helps even one person to know that they can do it and not spend too much time doubting, because there's paralysis by analysis. And if you think about all the things that could go wrong, you won't ever do anything. So, plan out to a degree. Yeah, absolutely. Have a plan, and then don't get too paralyzed by fear. You just, if one person hears that and does something with it, that'd be great. And if one person gets up and starts working out who hasn't ever before, then my mission is complete.
Your mission is complete. Well, then that is where we leave it. I'm going to tell everyone to pull out your earbuds and find a legal and safe way to go hit something. And just thank you so much, Heather, for sitting down to talk with us today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
So everyone, have a great day and tune in to the other episodes of the Her Success podcast.